Morning Church. Why don't you stand and join us in worship? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you, oh, evil, a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. Everyone, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Much whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains the locks and it's life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the praise. Blood of the Lamb, drums and voices. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and just ask a simple question. Just say, how awesome is our pastor? All right, y'all, we're going to dive back into worship now. to love each other. Lift us to the joy divine. Of everything that we believe, things that we maybe we've known since we were children, fundamentals of faith. But it's calling it back to the forefront of your mind and reminding you why you believe what you believe, and professing it with your mouth, with your tongue, with your heart. So let's focus on that this morning.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Suffered and crucified, forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe.
believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you, and I believe you rose again. I believe in that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in you, and I believe in you, and I believe you rose again, and I believe that Jesus Christ. The Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Even if you don't yet feel it, especially this morning, you got stuff going on, stuff that is getting in the way of you diving into a deeper worship with the Father. The Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. When you feel compelled to just raise your hands, raise your hands. Maybe you don't feel like singing this morning, and that's all right. But if at any point you do, lift those hands. Something happens when you say, you know what, Lord? I don't care what I'm going through, and I don't care how I feel. I'm going to worship you. So this morning, I pray that we could do that. I pray that we would lift our hands, open ourselves up to receive whatever Holy Spirit's trying to do this morning. And we would give Him praise and glory for how amazing and wonderful He is. Here, working in this place, worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, you're healing every heart. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. True. Never stop working. Y'all sing it out to him. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop working. Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Who you are.
That is who you are. And that is who you are. And that is who you are. And that is who you are.
Never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it,
never stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
That is who you are. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here moving in ways that we could not even comprehend. Lord, because your ways are so much grander than ours, and we make these plans for our lives, and even those when we think, oh, things are destroyed, things are ruined, it's not going the way that I planned. Lord, that nothing can destroy your plans. Nothing can get in the way of your plans, Father. And Lord, the second that we trust you, we come back into your graces. Father, and we pray that we would do that this morning. We pray that if we have been out of alignment with you, that we would come back into alignment with you. Lord, we would surrender all these things that we hold so near and dear to our heart that are temporary. We would surrender these things that are burdening us that will come to pass. We lay these things at your feet that they wouldn't affect us because, Lord, you are greater than these things. You are greater than this world, for you've overcome it. Lord, I pray that if we don't have that as our mindset, if we don't have that buried somewhere within our heart, that this morning we would receive that word, we would receive that truth. And I pray, Father, that we would be just closer to you this morning. Holy Spirit, come have your way with us. Do what you want to. Lord, I pray you would speak through Pastor Forrest as he brings forth your word, and that we would be receptive to what you're trying to do with us, in us, and through us. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Morning, beloved. You may have a seat if you can. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. This morning, I'd like to share a very familiar story with you. A few years back, a young lady went off to college.
Great. Here we go again with that story about the elephant. I mean, don't you have another story to prove your point? I've heard it like three times this year already. And you know what? It's not even that funny. Yeah, I said it. Not even funny. Maybe I should fill out one of those comment cards. It's not like I'm asking all that much. I come here every Sunday or so for some coffee, fellowship, and to hear a new message. The least you can do is make it fresh and insightful and funny and moving and theologically sound and historically accurate every week. Maybe I am asking too much. Probably way too much. I mean, Pastor did visit Joe in the hospital and celebrated with us when Michelle was born. And was there when Susan lost her mom and encouraged me to fight for my family when we were on the brink of separation. Now that I think about it, Pastor's been like a counselor, mentor, and a friend, when I needed it the most. Pastors are awesome. Go ahead, Pastor. Tell that story again. I'll laugh this time.
I get a kick out of that video every time I watch it. It just makes me chuckle every time. And so this morning what I want to talk to you about is how to treat your pastor. Now that's kind of a weird thing for me to talk about, isn't it? It's kind of a little weird. Aren't you the only guy here that's a pastor? Yeah, I am. That's kind of weird. And I agree. So I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, well, should I really preach this, or should I get someone else? So then what I tried to do was I thought through. I didn't actually do it, but I thought through the process of maybe having somebody else come in and preach it, because it's the next couple of verses in the chapter. So it's the next one to preach. It needs to be preached. So I was like, maybe I should just have somebody else preach it. And as I thought through what was being talked about in these verses, as I thought through what was being discussed, I was thinking to myself, I'm probably the best person to preach this sermon because I know you guys. A lot of you I know. I don't know all of you. I'm working on it. But I know a lot of you, and I know your stories, and I know what's going on. So I'm probably the best person to preach it. And then I thought about and read a little bit further in the passage, and I was like, yeah, and I actually love you guys. Like, I actually really, truly love you. So I'm kind of thinking, if I brought somebody in, they wouldn't know you as well, and they wouldn't love you as well, and they probably wouldn't do as well. So I thought, I need to be the one to do it. So I said, how do I do this? How do I preach this sermon about how to treat your pastor? I mean, it's just a weird situation. I thought, how do I do it? And I said, well, I'll try to make it fun. So that was the purpose of the video, was to make it funny and just like laugh. Okay, so it's funny. And it is kind of a funny situation, but the dynamic is weird because what we're doing, I'm talking about how you treat me. So it's kind of weird. But on the same side, it's something that needs to be talked about because in our culture, there are kind of two mindsets about how to treat pastors. In some respects, and in some people's minds, they have this idea that a pastor is like almost godlike. Like they put him up on a pedestal and they think whatever that pastor says is like from the mouth of God. And whatever that pastor does is like from the hand of God. And so they're superhuman being. Okay? The people who feel that way or feel like they should look at their pastor that way, and it's probably not safe or accurate or whatever. But then there are people on the other side of the spectrum, and it's their responsibility to keep the pastor humble. That they see that. They've seen stories of pastors who get thinking really way too highly about themselves, and so they take it upon themselves to criticize the pastor every time they get a chance, and just kind of set him in his place. You know, the people who do that, and their hearts are in the right place, but that's kind of what their perspective is. And so for you and me, we go to church and we're like, I'm not sure how I'm supposed to treat the guy. Am I supposed to revere him as though he can do nothing wrong, or am I supposed to humble him? How are we supposed to treat our pastor? And it's really a pretty important concept. It's important enough that 1 Thessalonians talks about it. Now, we've been going through this series on the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn with me. You can get a pew Bible there in front of you, and we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the Holy Spirit inspired Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to write this letter to a church of young believers. And they've covered a lot of topics, and they're going to cover a couple of more. But one of the things that they talk about is how you should treat your leaders. Because it's important. And probably because, to some degree, people just don't know how to do it. And they're not sure what that even means. So as we go through these two verses, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, as we go through these verses, we're going to see how we are supposed to treat our pastors. What are we supposed to, how are we supposed to treat them? How are we supposed to react to them? And how should we do that? Are we supposed to hold them up in this holy position? Are we supposed to humble them, or how should we interact with them? How should we treat them? And what we're going to see this morning is we should love our pastor, we should know our pastor, and a really fun one is we should peace our pastor. I'll explain that in a little bit. But we should know our pastor, we should love our pastor, and we should peace our pastor. And the difficulty with this is going to be that each of these terms are very general. The word know and the word love are very general. They refer to a large group of reference. And so it's like, which one is meant here? So that's what I'm going to try to do for you, is try to help you understand what is being communicated here. What does it mean to know your pastor? What does it mean to love your pastor? And what does it mean to peace your pastor? And then how do we do that? So this morning, what we're going to do is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 12, I'm going to go through 13. It's going to talk about these three things. And the first thing is to know your pastor. Now, what happens oftentimes with the concept of know is it's such a general thing, we're not sure what exactly is being said there. Am I supposed to know? Yeah, like I know him. He stands up front on Sundays. I know him. I know what shirts he wears. I know how he cuts his hair. I know him. That's not the knowing that's being talked about here. It's a little different. And the knowing that's talked about here means to know the person so well that you can recognize them, that you can identify them. So think of it this way. If someone were to write a short biography of my life and they were to take all of the pronouns out and all of my name out, could you identify that person was talking about me from the biography? And that's the idea, is being able to recognize what's going on. So look with me at verse 12. Verse 12 says this, "But we ask you," this is the start to this new section, and Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are talking, and they're saying, "We're asking you," not commanding them. They're not making a huge deal about this. They're coming alongside them and said, "But we ask you, brothers and sisters." It's a terminology that is used throughout the book, and it's just a very familial way of addressing them. And he is trying to come alongside of them and say, "Hey, let's do this, guys." He says, "But we ask you, brothers and sisters, to recognize those," and then it describes later who it is that they want them to recognize. But he says to recognize. This infinitive here is actually from the word to know. And it really means that what he's communicating is he wants you to know them, but our English know is such a broad term, it's really hard to understand what exactly is being said here. So I've translated in my translation, I'm not sure what yours says, is to recognize, to be able to identify, to know the people well enough that you could recognize them. To recognize those who diligently labor among you, those who work hard among you. And what were earlier in this same book, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy told them, "Hey, remember, guys, when we were with you, we worked night and day to tell you the gospel. We worked hard among you." And what this is doing is it's kind of referencing back to that and saying, the leaders who are among you should be those people who are following our example, that are working hard, that are laboring just like we did. This is to recognize those who diligently labor among you and who are in leadership over you in the Lord. We learn from the book of Acts that most of the churches that Paul planted, he set up elders and overseers in those churches. He set those people up in those churches. And it's very likely that here in Thessalonica, he had done the same. And so this church was functioning with some leaders that had been put in place. And so he's saying to recognize those who labor among you like we did and who are in leadership over you in the Lord, and they give you instruction. And the word here, instruction, we often understand that to be just information, the teaching, and that's definitely part of it. But it also carries with it the aspect of correction, giving proper instruction which results in being corrected. So not only in those situations where you are needing to get new information, but also in those situations where you are needing to get corrected because what you're doing is not what you should be. And that is a difficult dynamic, and that is a difficult place to be. But the reminder here is that they should know those who diligently labor among you, who are in leadership over you, and who give you instruction. For our purposes, we're going to call that a pastor, but it's a broader term, and it can apply to different things. But this morning, I want to stay focused on that, stay focused on the role of the pastor. And the command here, or the thing that is trying to be communicated here, is to know your pastor. Really know them. Know them enough that you could recognize them. Over the past two and a half years, I have gone out to eat with many of you. I have taken many of you to coffee. I haven't taken all, but I've taken many of you out and met with you personally. And we talked a little bit about your story, when you became a believer, or what your journey has been up to this point. And we've talked about where you're at in your life. And many of the people ask me at some point in the interaction, like, why are we doing this? Like, why are you meeting with me? Not that they're upset, but they're just wondering why. What was the purpose of this? Why are we doing this? And I've told them, I've told many people this, and you may have been one of those people. I've told them the reason is just because when I'm preaching to you, I want to know who I'm preaching to. I want to know you because that helps me. That helps me as I'm going through my sermon preparation, and as I'm going through what I'm going to think about, or what I'm going to pray, or what I'm going to preach about. I know what I need to deliver because I know the people that I'm talking to. And the same dynamic is true for a person who is in a relationship with their pastor. It helps if you know the pastor as well, because that relationship becomes more fruitful for you. And so the admonition here is to know your pastor. The challenge that I give you with this is to take your pastor out to eat or to coffee or something. Take your pastors out. Take them out to dinner. Take them out to coffee or whatever. Invite them out. Go out with them and just talk to them and listen to them. And at some point, if it's me, I'll tell you, why are we doing this? And you can say, because I'm not preaching to you, but I want to be in a relationship with you and I want to know you. That's the feel. That's the idea of what's trying to be communicated here. And so the first thing is, how do we treat our pastors? We need to know our pastors. We need to know them. Second of all, look at with me at verse 13. And the second thing we need to do is we need to love our pastors. Now, love is a very broad term. I sometimes love my car. I love my car because when I get in it and start it, it runs. So I love it. That's not the love that's being talked about here. I love my wife. That is also not the love that's being talked about here, okay? This is a different kind of a love. This is a love which is a genuine appreciation for the person that you love. Look with me at verse 13. And that you regard them, to think about them, to consider them, as when you put them in a category in your mind, this is how you feel about them. And it says that you regard them very highly. It's an extreme. This is a term that's a very much of an extreme, and so it's not just saying I don't want you to think highly of them. I want you to really high, very highly is the way it's translated in my translation. It says, and that you regard them, that you think of them very highly in love. In the way that you love them, you do so in such a way that you have a very high regard for this person. And here's the reason why. Because of their work. This is the thing that you love them for, is you love them for the work that they do. And that perception, that idea, that category that you put them in your mind should be a very high category, because of the way that they work among you. And oftentimes we have to make that decision to love regardless of how difficult or painful that might be for us. It's when I first came to this church, I had to love people, but there was no guarantee that those people would love me back. See, there's a danger when you go into a new relationship with someone. You don't know for sure that the person is going to love you back. There's a danger there. And there's another danger that at some point in time, there will be a goodbye. There will be a time where you will say goodbye. Maybe that your pastor is by your bedside in the hospital, and they may be saying goodbye. The maybe that you guys are in the hospital and I'm in the bed and I'm saying goodbye. Either way, the idea is that loving people, just like any relationship that we have, loving people can be difficult because it can be painful. And oftentimes we try to push that away and we say, I don't want to do that. But that's not right. That's not how we're supposed to do it. That's not really what's best for us. So verse 13 says this, and that you regard them very highly in love because of their work. My challenge for you is this: give yourself permission to love your pastor. It may be difficult, and it may be hard to do because you're afraid of what might happen, but give yourself permission to love your pastor, whoever he might be. So how should we treat our pastors? First, know your pastor. Second of all, love your pastor. Third, peace your pastor. Peace your pastor. Look with me at the end of verse 13. Live in peace with one another. Live in peace. Live in harmony. Live in calmness, no tension. No fighting, no agitation. Live in peace with one another. And oftentimes people like to read this and like, oh, okay, I need to live in peace with the people around me. But the referent here is between leaders and people in the church. And the call is to live in peace with your pastors and your pastors to live in peace with you. This is the environment that Paul wanted this church to understand, that they should live in that place of peace. When I first started here, I and you may have seen it. If you got your eyes closed when we're praying, you won't see it, and that's fine. But generally when I pray with my arms up. And some people are like, why do you do that? It's just weird. It is weird, a little weird. But the reason that I pray with my hands up is because I made a commitment when I first started at this church that I would be at peace with all men. And whenever you see this, you would understand that when I'm praying, I am at peace with everyone. I have no issues with people in this room. I have no issues with people in this church. I have no issues. If somebody has said something mean to me, if somebody has done something mean to me, I've forgiven them. I'm moving on. I don't care. I am at peace with all men. And it's a reminder to people that even if they've done something, maybe they're not sure how I feel about them, if they can look up and see that, like, Pastor Forrest is cool. Everything's okay. Pastor Forrest is at peace. And the reality is that takes work on my part. That takes work on my part to be functioning in a realm of peace. If somebody has hurt my feelings, maybe I need to go talk to them. If somebody has done something that's hurt my feelings, maybe I just need to say, you know what? I'm just being too sensitive. It doesn't matter. I forgive them and move on. That takes work on my part. And in order to be at peace with each other, that takes work on your part as well. And so whatever the pastor has done to hurt your feelings or whatever, either talk to him about it and get it resolved or forgive him and move on. And the idea is that it's our responsibility to be at peace with the pastor and the pastor with the people. So here's the application for this. And the application for this is peace your pastor. Peace your pastor. So first of all, whatever issues you might have with your pastor, get those resolved. And then the next time you see him, say, peace, pastor. peace. Okay? It's a pretty simple thing to do. It's kind of fun. I was thinking about this week. I'm thinking through and I'm thinking, yeah, outside from Alex, I'm not sure how many people are going to really want to do this. Like me and Alex could do this kind of thing like all the time. It's just fun. But other people, I'm not sure. But then I told people that in the first service and they all came up to me and they're like, peace, Pastor. I was like, okay, so maybe it's not that hard. So it won't be that hard. You can do it. I'm telling you, it's easy. But here's the thing. What you're communicating to me is like, I'm good with you, Pastor. We're good. Peace, Pastor. It's real easy to do. It's a real way to communicate to me, hey, everything's fine. Peace, Pastor. I understand my responsibility is to live in peace with you. This does not apply to me, but I know other pastors, and maybe pastors that you may deal with in the future have this. Pastors sometimes think that people are always mad at them. This is not a thing for me, so I'm not telling you for that. I just want you to be aware. Sometimes pastors think that people are always mad at them. They get up front on Sunday morning and they start preaching and they look up and someone is really mad at their wife and they had a big fight with their wife, but they're sitting there like this in the service and they're really mad at their wife. But the pastor sees it and he thinks, oh, that dude's mad at me. They get worried about it, okay? Now, you're not even thinking about the pastor at that point, but the pastors oftentimes they see those kind of things and they get that. So it's good. It's a good habit to get into letting the pastor know, hey, dude, we're good. Peace. Peace between us. So, how do we treat our pastor? First thing, we need to know our pastor. Second of all, love your pastor. And third, peace your pastor. It's kind of weird, but you could do it. Give him the peace sign. Say, peace, Pastor. Maybe really out loud in a public restaurant so you can embarrass him. That would be awesome. He would love that. There we go. So how do we treat our how should we treat our pastor? Know your pastor, love your pastor, and peace your pastor. I learned an important lesson a number of years ago. After I graduated from Moody Bible Institute for my undergraduate, I took a position in a student ministry. And I literally dove in headfirst to student ministry. I dove into the lives of these kids, and I absolutely loved them. Loved them. I knew more about most of these kids than their friends did. And I loved them, spent a lot of time with them. I loved them. And at the end of 7 years, it was time for us to leave, and I was crushed. I was absolutely crushed. I was very difficult to think I just wouldn't be able to be in these kids' lives anymore. So I was crushed. So when we went to our next church, I thought I would get really smart. And I said, okay, I'll be a good pastor, and I'll develop these good programs and stuff, but I'm not going to get close to these kids, okay? To some degree, I did that. Some of the kids, I couldn't help but love them anyways. But at the end of the time period when we left there, I looked back, and I said, I didn't have as much influence on these kids. And I learned an important lesson for myself, that even though it's difficult, and even though it's hard to love someone that deep, interact with someone and to be in a right relationship, even though it's hard and bad things may come from it, even though that's hard, it's the right thing to do. And so what I realized going forward is no matter what, I would always love the people that I'm trying to serve, even if I know it's going to be difficult. And the same thing could be said for you. You may have been in relationships with pastors in the past. You may have been in settings where the pastor may not have done things to you that you would be happy about having. You may have run into situations where you felt hurt. Maybe you didn't do anything wrong, you just left or whatever. Maybe you've had that, and so maybe you've gotten to the place in your life, okay, Lord, I'm working on it. I'm almost done. All right, so maybe you've gotten to that place in your life where you're like, you don't want to trust someone, you don't want to love someone. You can have these perspectives in your mind about how you're going to insulate yourself from ever being hurt again. And the reality is that that's not right. There is a relationship that is supposed to develop between a pastor and the people. And that's a relationship that's good for both sides. Unfortunately, that situation will likely end up at some point in pain. At some point, you'll die. At some point, they'll die. And that's okay. But just be trying to avoid that isn't a good enough reason to not do what we need to do. So how should we treat our pastor? First of all, know them. Take them out to coffee. Take them out to dinner. Get to know them. Second of all, love them. Really love them. Communicate with them in a way about what's going on in their life and express them love. And last, peace your pastor. Give him the peace sign. Say, peace, pastor. We are good. Okay? So, this at this point in the service now, this is the time period where we go into the time of communion. And if you haven't received one of these disposable communion cups, just go ahead and raise your hand. And we've got some people in the back that will get those to you. And this is an opportunity for us this morning to think about what Christ did on the cross for us. And one of the very important tenets of this time period of the Lord's Supper, one of the very important aspects about this is that a believer should not be taking this time of communion, this time of remembrance, if they have issues between them and another believer, whether it's a pastor or whether it's someone that's sitting in the pew next to them. So what I want to do is I want to just give you a few moments right now. And if you have been holding something against someone, whether it's the pastor, whether it's a pastor that's long gone, or you've been holding something against somebody in this room, I want to give you just a few moments, and I want you to forgive that person. Whatever it is, forgive and forget it and move it on. We are reminded in the book of 1 Corinthians, if you want to take out that white wafer, this is a time period where we eat this bread, but we remember that Jesus was willing to allow his body to be crushed and killed on the cross to provide a way for us to have an intimate relationship with God and to have intimate relationships with each other. And so we read, the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took some bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then he reminded them, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Gail's going to come up. She's got some announcements for us about Operation Christmas Child.
Hello. So we're into our third week of Operation Christmas Child. The first week we handed out boxes, let you know that they're available. They're still available if you haven't gotten one yet. And if you've already picked up a box, you can bring back your boxes at any time. We have until November 17th to bring back your box. So I just want to encourage you, if you took a box home and it's still sitting wherever you put it, just want to encourage you to follow through. It's a real blessing. So last week we had our little cute kid that told us how to pack our boxes, what we could pack and what not to pack. And so there is a website. You can either go to Samaritan's Purse or just type in Operation Christmas Child, and you can order a Christmas box online, and you can do it all online, or if that's how you prefer it. And it just has a lot of information if you have questions, and you're welcome to call the church and talk to me as well. So today we're going to focus on the journey of your shoebox. Once you pack that shoebox and you bring it back to church, again, like we said, we are official Dropbox location in Dallas. So we still need volunteers. It's a wonderful time to fellowship and just come together and to be that next step in the process of getting those shoeboxes around the world. So I like to think about our shoeboxes as being eternal. God is doing a mighty work with that shoebox, and he's going to the ends of the earth to reach children with the love of Christ and to share the gospel. So this next video is going to just give you an idea of what happens to your box once you drop it off here.
This is a journey of the shoebox. We first pack the shoeboxes.
My favorite part is trying to pick out the different items to put in the box.
We write our own message, just pray and think about what do we want this kid to be receiving right now.
When we're done with all the shoeboxes, we gather them together and then pray over them.
After we pray over the shoeboxes, we drop them off at a church that collects them and makes sure that they get to a processing center.
After they take them to the warehouse, volunteers will take them and go through them to make sure that they're safe and okay.
We got a full box on 15!
And then they ship them on planes and boats.
And trucks, canoes, donkeys, it's really cool.
Once they're sent out to communities, to churches, and then those are then distributed to kids of all ages.
Before they get this shoebox, someone tells them about Jesus, the greatest gift. They hear the gospel and pray together. Then they get their shoebox gift.
3, 2, 1!
After the kids receive shoeboxes, they're invited to be discipled and learn more about Christ and his message.
The main goal is to spread the word.
To learn about God and that they know that God loves them. Packing the shoebox, it makes me happy, and I hope that it makes the other kids happy that are getting them. And they are able to experience Jesus' love.
Well, good morning, church. As we conclude our service, we just have a few short announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, please be sure to grab one. I always say it, but there's a few things, such as our first announcement here. For the young adults, there will be a revival gathering this evening at 7 p.m. I'm looking at John here for pronunciation. I'm sorry, I'm from Indiana. Jalisco Restaurante? All right. Yeah. Close enough. All right. 7 p.m. tonight. Be sure to, you could talk to Pastor Forrest as well if you need any additional information on that one. As well as in about a week and a half here, a production will be taking place here by Bright Lights Theater. It will be A Wizard of Oz. There's a few different dates, a few different times. If you're interested in that, please be sure to get your tickets. There's more information there on the bulletin as well. And finally, Jax Burton and Darla Brown are both expecting babies here pretty soon. If you'd like to get them a gift, maybe help encourage them and support them at this time, there's more information there as well. As well as on the back of your bulletins, you can find a few different ways to give to help support the ministries of this church. We would thank you for your generosity. And also, just before I came up here, I know the thunder and everything sounded pretty crazy. Sounds like it should be ending pretty quick, but please be sure to drive safe and just keep an eye on weather as you go home. Would you please pray with me? Definitely, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together, just in worship of you and study of your word. We just pray that we would honor you with our lives, with our words this week. And Lord, that we would just, you would just strengthen us as we seek to know, to love, and to be at peace with our pastor. And that you would just give us the wisdom to how to apply that in our lives. Lord, we just thank you, and we pray this all in your son's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you. Have a good week.